This is Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. An Idaho-based company looks to be close to getting approval of a huge expansion of its hazardous waste facility on the east side of Detroit near Hamtramck. The company is U.S. Ecology. It takes in tens of thousands of tons of toxic chemicals and treats them. Joining us now is Richard Conforti. He's with the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. That agency reviews and grants permits for facilities like this one. First of all, can you describe what this facility is and what it does exactly?
I think you hit it right on the head. They are a treatment storage facility. They take in hazardous waste for temporary storage, and they also treat liquid waste that come in.
So where is DEQ in the approval process for this U.S. Ecology expansion at the site in Detroit?
We're pretty far along the process. We started a couple years ago on this one. We're in what I would consider probably the last phase by approving the waste analysis plan. And the waste analysis plan is what describes how the facility will take in the waste that they can treat and or store.
So what does this mean? I mean, what is changing? I understand there's going to be more storage. That's the expansion?
Essentially, yes. They're going to increase storage from in containers, such as like 55-gallon drums, and also storage in larger tanks. They already have the tanks on site, but right now they're storing product, and they want to convert those over to store hazardous waste. There is also some treatment. They're going to do some potentially solidification of solids that would come in.
So this is, as I understand it, it increases the amount of hazardous material they can store on site from about 76,000 gallons to about 677,000 gallons. That's a 9-time expansion. Will that mean more hazardous waste actually gets processed, or is this just storage?
It's mostly all storage. As far as processing goes, the liquids does not change. Right now, they're authorized for 144,000 gallons for treatment process on a daily basis. That number stays the same. They will be allowed to increase the solidification process of hazardous waste by 600 tons on a daily basis, which they're not doing right now as far as hazardous waste. But you're right, almost all of this is a storage capacity increase.
Now, when you say solidification, help me understand that. It's like, are you mixing concrete with liquid sludge or something like that? Or how do you solidify it?
In their process, what they would take is like put lime and cement dust into a wettish material, sluggish material, and then solidify and dry it up that way. They would then send that material off to a hazardous waste landfill or another landfill someplace else for disposal purposes.
Why does U.S. Ecology need to store so much hazardous waste at this site?
It would be a business decision so that they could then come in and store the material to a point where they can then redistribute it. What they'll do is they'll do a bulking operation. So if things come in small containers, such 1 gallon or 5 gallons, they could then combine like materials into a more efficient way of transporting to somebody else for a treatment or disposal purposes.
How much of this treated waste that doesn't get solidified goes into the Detroit sewer system and eventually into the Great Lakes system?
All the liquids that they process, they're allowed to discharge to their Great Lakes Water Authority permit, which they have what they are called an industrial pretreater or license. So they're allowed to discharge on a daily basis up to 300,000 gallons. But again, they're only authorized to treat 144,000 gallons a day. So the liquid waste that are treated go into the sewer system.
You're talking about pretreatment. Does that mean that this stuff that they're putting into the sewer system is not totally benign?
It meets the requirements that Great Lakes Water Authority puts on them. So Great Lakes Water Authority has certain criteria so that they can meet Clean Water Act. So and the liquids, by the time it gets out through the Great Lakes Water Authority wastewater treatment plant and then discharges out to the Great Lakes or wherever they discharge it to, they're allowed to be able to handle it and treat it safely so that it doesn't impact themselves what comes from U.S. Ecology.
A reporter with the Detroit Free Press, Keith Matheny, has been looking at this facility and another operation near Belleville that's also owned by U.S. Ecology. He's reported there have been fires and violations at these hazardous waste facilities near Belleville. The DEQ approved doubling the size of that treatment operation and landfill in 2012, despite all of those problems. Given the record at these sites and subsequent fines, how do you conclude that expanding any of these operations is in the interest of the public health and safety?
Well, I can't answer to the stuff at the Belleville, unfortunately. This facility is mine, but the DEQ does proceed cautiously under the federal laws to renew U.S. Ecology's licenses under Part 111. Those are our requirements. If we issued a new license for these facilities or someplace else, it'd be consistent with the operations and in this case, an expansion operations, and it would require standards that are protective of public health and the environment. That's what we do.
Okay, let's go back to the Detroit site, since that's what you're working on right now. The Great Lakes Environmental Law Center notes there are more than 10,000 people living within 1 mile of that facility on the east side of Detroit. Most of them are poor, people of color, 31% are children. Some of the residents say that is the definition of environmental racism. How does, or does it at all, figure into your decisions to allow this facility to expand its operations?
This facility's been in this location since the 1970s. It's been an industrial complex since the 50s, prior to becoming a hazardous waste treatment facility. So based on zoning, which is put out by the City of Detroit and Wayne County, this facility is allowed to be here. As far as the number of people have been out there, our decision is made based on, as I said earlier, having standards that are protective of human health and the environment. That's what's in our rules. That's when and what will be in this license.
Does the increased truck traffic or odors or noise and et cetera, do those nuisances factor into the DEQ approval process?
Yes. As a matter of fact, when the public meetings and hearings were out, we did get comments on a lot of truck traffic in there. There's other truck traffic that's not associated with this facility. There's two brand new facilities going up over there that are not hazardous waste, so the DEQ doesn't have any control over them. But we were able to put in conditions in the permit that limits the route that the trucks can take and the number of trucks that can come into the facility on a daily basis.
When will the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality make a final decision on this site?
I can't really give you a date because we're in the process of working through with EPA, US EPA, and US Ecology to resolve some of the issues. The big issue being here is the waste analysis plan. And until we are satisfied that we've got a license that is protective of human health and the environment, we're not going to make the decision on that.
This is a personal question, and feel free not to answer it if you don't want to, but would you and your family live within a mile of this U.S. Ecology Hazardous Waste Facility?
That is a tough question. If it was in a city setting like that, my answer would be no, because I'm not a city person. But if this facility was there and I moved within a mile of it and the other surroundings were good, I would try to ensure that I understood what was going on out there and that there was a permit in place or in being protective of the human health and that their records were good in going forward. I would be proactive, like a lot of the citizens are around there, to make sure that what's occurring at that location is being done to the best standards that are out there.
Richard Conforti is a supervisor for the Management and Tracking Unit for the Michigan Department of Environmental Quality. Thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Lester.
Let's stay with this U.S. ecology expansion story for a moment. Noah Hall is a professor of law at Wayne State University and the founder of the Great Lakes Environmental Law Center, which we referenced earlier. So how common is it for a hazardous waste treatment facility like this to be located in the middle of a city?
Well, unfortunately, it's relatively common in poor, underrepresented, and often minority and immigrant neighborhoods in cities, and Detroit is no exception. We don't see a facility like this, of course, in some of the more prosperous parts of a city or in the parts of a city that political leaders are looking to economic development. Instead, we see waste sites like this, along with all other sorts of toxic emissions and poisons, being situated in some of the most vulnerable and disenfranchised communities, even though, such as here, it's where thousands of people and families are living.
As I mentioned, some of the nearby residents feel this is a case of environmental racism. Conforti with the DEQ says this facility has been on that site since the 1950s. Does that social justice claim hold up when many of those folks moved near that plant since it was established?
Well, sure. And trying to turn a polluting source and a disenfranchised community into a chicken and egg problem really dodges the issue and fails to take responsibility. The reality is that thousands of families are living here. Every day, more children are born in this neighborhood. They're coming here for a quality of life, and instead they're moving to a neighborhood where the state is green lighting the expansion of a toxic waste facility that none of us would want in our backyards.
At least two Detroit City Council members have protested this expansion of the U.S. Ecology Hazardous Waste Treatment Facility. How much power does the city or a county really have in restricting or regulating an operation like this?
Well, unfortunately, to some extent, the city and county's hands are tied. Now, the city and county will have some options, and there's a lot that they can be doing at the local level to mitigate the impacts and try to minimize how harmful this is going to be to the neighborhood. But at the end of the day, these are decisions made by our State Department of Environmental Quality. And the citizens of Detroit, and really citizens of the entire state, deserve a Department of Environmental Quality that is looking out for them and their public health.
U.S. Ecology did enter an agreement with the city of Detroit, which includes the ability to fine the company or even shut down the facility if it's violating its permit requirements. How rare is that?
The details of that are not clear, and it's the concept of a partnership with local enforcement is actually fairly common. Your county prosecutor, your city attorney have the ability to enforce state law. And so a separate enforcement agreement with the local authorities is not that uncommon. The details of how that enforcement would be coordinated and what role there is for citizens to participate and oversee the enforcement is a key question.
A colleague of yours wants the DEQ to hold another public hearing. There were lots of public hearings held in regard to Nestle's request for water extraction, and tens of thousands of people expressed opposition, and it didn't move the needle. What good does your colleague think he'll get out of a second public hearing on the U.S. ecology expansion?
Well, first of all, the purpose of public participation is not just to get an eventual decision, but to empower the community and make clear that the community is a part of the decision-making. The DEQ has failed to hold the public hearings that this community deserves, not just the number of public hearings, but in the languages and in the forums that are accessible to the people in this community. We have a lot of folks in the community who don't speak English, who have a difficult time reaching certain forums and submitting comments online, and the DEQ needs to and should want to hear from members of the community. And community empowerment is important for its own sake. Of course, we hope it will eventually lead to a better decision by the DEQ, but we're realistic. We fight the DEQ every day on behalf of communities because the DEQ simply does not listen to the citizens of the state.
We asked the DEQ about U.S. Ecology's record. The Free Press found that U.S. Ecology released chemicals into the city sewer system that exceeded regulatory limits more than 150 times in a six-year period. How common is it that facilities regulated by the Department of Environmental Quality violate the rules, they're fined, but then are granted permits or licenses to expand or increase release of pollutants?
I'm sorry to say, but unfortunately, that's all too common a scenario, especially in disenfranchised communities and in populations that our political system hasn't cared much about. We see over and over again facilities with horrendous track records. Of course, U.S. Ecology isn't even the only one in Detroit. We've got the Detroit incinerator, which has been the subject of violations and enforcements,
refineries,
I hate to say, essentially
steel mills,
since I've been doing this work.
Yeah.
And they continue to get the permitting support of the state agency. I think really the fundamental problem is that our State Department of Environmental Quality does not live up to its name. Its mission and its focus is not protecting the environment on behalf of communities and citizens. It seems to be to facilitate economic development, including often hazardous and polluting facilities.
Noah Hall is a professor of law at Wayne State University and the founder of the Great Lakes Environmental Law Center. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Now let's hear from a spokesperson for U.S. Ecology. John Truscott joins us. Welcome to Stateside.
Glad to be here.
If U.S. Ecology is not increasing the amount of hazardous waste it intends to process, then why does the company need to make this expansion to store nine times as much hazardous waste on site?
Well, I think you have to realize first we're talking about a permit renewal that occurs pretty much every 10 years by regulatory standards. And the facility itself isn't changing, but updated market conditions, demands from consumers, customers require changes. So nobody's talking about increasing the size of the facility or anything, but there may be some products coming in that have changed in terms of weight or load or things like that. So this is really just to be prepared for, in the future, potential market condition changes.
There are more than 10,000 people living within a mile of this U.S. Ecology operation on the east side of Detroit, including folks who live in Hamtramck. What is the company's reaction to their concerns, the residents' concerns, about U.S. Ecology's plans to bring in a lot more hazardous materials into their neighborhood?
Well, U.S. Ecology's first and foremost concern is for protection of the environment, and then also being a good neighbor and making sure that the community and the neighbors are protected and treated well. Nothing in this permit suggests otherwise, and there have been a number of discussions with community members, with the city. There are some agreements being negotiated with the city in terms of how things will be handled. So all efforts are being made to first be compliant and protective of the environment, and then also to work with the community. So we hear the concerns. We're glad to talk to them and work with them. And I think really once you get the true and accurate information out there, it will start to alleviate many of their concerns.
As you know, the Free Press reported U.S. Ecology exceeded permit levels of toxic chemicals going into the city of Detroit's sewer system 150 times between 2010 and 2016. What has U.S. Ecology done to ensure that it won't be doing that in the future?
Yeah, I really appreciate the question because in that timeline, most of the exceedances happened before U.S. Ecology bought the facility in 2012, and there have been major and significant improvements since then. You know, we're never happy unless it's absolutely perfect 100% of the time. That's a very difficult standard to meet 100% of the time, but there have been so many improvements made, and we'll continue to monitor and make further improvements. And I think once people see the timeline and all of those improvements, they'll see that significant efforts have been made and achieved.
I'm curious, when U.S. Ecology pre-treats these hazardous chemicals such as PCBs, arsenic, mercury, and so on, what does it do to make it safe enough to be released into the sewers and then, after municipal treatment, released into the Great Lakes system?
Well, I'm certainly not an engineer or a water treatment specialist, but what happens here is this is a very, very heavily regulated area, both with what's coming in and what's going out. So there are certain chemicals that can be removed from the water stream or diluted so significantly that there is virtually no detection by the time it goes out. And so what happens with this is there's a lot of cooperation with the local water system. So first, what's going in is safe or can at least be adequately treated in the local water system before it's put into the water stream. So there is great care. It's monitored virtually around the clock. And the EPA and the DEQ are on this 24 hours a day. So we can say with certainty that this is very safe by the time it's treated and goes through the process.
John Truscott is a public relations manager speaking for U.S. Ecology. Thanks for talking with us.
My pleasure, Lester.